You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca. Hardwick to the show. Probably a big fan of the backward pants of Chris Cross back in the 90s. Stretty, how you doing?
Yeah, huge fan. I like that song. I mean, who doesn't remember that song? It was a real banger, as the kids would say.
Yeah, it was a banger. I just thought for sure, Strutty, you know, anything for you to wear pants, whether they're jeans or not, I thought you'd be all over it.
But it took me a while to embrace the jean culture. I don't think I wore jeans till like grade 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And that might surprise some of the people who see me about looking so good in jeans, but I was patient. It was a slow release, Griggs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Strutty? Like jeans as a kid, it's just not, they're not over. Like I know even our jeans now, they're a little stretchy. They're more comfortable. But yeah, like you, my son has never worn a pair of jeans. Like he just refuses to. And I'm like, honey, let it go. Trust me. When he turns 16, all of a sudden or 17, he'll be like, oh, jeans, not bad. And then he'll wear them. It's just, it's how it goes. Like, so I was looking back. I'm like, remember, I don't know, Strutty, we used to have the sweatpants. Remember you used to get hockey sweatpants and they were like black. And then the side down the leg was all yellow, or if it was blue and blue, those were the money sweatpants, man. They should bring those back because those would be killer.
Well, you could also in that bar write your team like White Mud West or whatever. And I was so proud of. I wore those till they literally blew off me when I got a pair. Right, like I was way too old to be wearing it, but they look so cool. They got to be coming back. Everything's coming back, so why not?
Yeah, I just thought it might be something to consider. So we'll see. Your thoughts on Pod Colson's contract?
You know, I don't think anyone should be really surprised by this one. I think this is one that was coming. And I think I like it for both sides. You know, Vasily, what do you have, 8 goals last year? I want to believe he can get, you know, is it reasonable to ask for a 50% improvement? Can he get to 12, 13 goals? I'd be blown away if he wasn't working on his offense all summer. If I was in that position, I would have. And to kind of finish some chances, you get a little bit more offense. He's a banger. We know he likes to hit pretty good defensively. So if he can get up to that number, that's, you know, for $3 million, especially I think he ate up one of his free agency years. You now have him locked in for the next 4 seasons. And I think at a number you feel good about. But he's got to keep working that offense. Really keep digging in because he could get opportunities. If he can cash in some of those, it's huge for him, but massive for the team.
Chris Knobloch today, I thought really outlined his reasoning and his thought process on why to start the season he's going to go with McDavid and Draisaitl together. Basically said, hey, Zach Hyman's not here. We're pretty thin in top 6 wingers. We need a good start. Now I know I have one line I love, and then hopefully the other lines I like. You know, he talked about more ice time for other guys because now McDavid and Draisaitl will be together in their 22 minutes rather than be apart for 15 of those minutes. So what do you make of his reasoning? What do you make of his decision and do you like the fact that he just announced it today?
I'm surprised he announced it today. You know, it's like we're a long ways away from training camp being over. Well, relatively speaking, you know, the season starting. There's no need to kind of preach it today, but I guess he's very, like, he usually answers the questions that you guys ask him. He's pretty honest. So off he goes and delivers it. I think that Hyman not being there does make a difference. I don't necessarily love it for the following reason. If you are going to introduce new players into your top 6, it'd be nice if they got an opportunity with those guys so you can see what they're like and see how they can play. Now, Trent Frederick playing some, why not? He's a big body. He'll get to the net. And, you know, maybe they're trying to get him going right away at the beginning of this contract, and then they'll flow him to a different spot, or maybe stays up there. So I get that. But, Greg, I wanted to see an opportunity for some of these guys to see what they can do. And asking a rookie to play on the top line, I know it's hard, but they've got to start moving it down towards that way because they need some youth. You know, they need some youth on this team, or should I say just new players on this team that can play in the top 6.
Yeah, you look at Frederick, and if you like, he could he be Zach Cassian of 2019, Struds, where at 5-on-5, now, and the thing is, they don't need him to be all year. Like, they really only probably need him to be a placeholder until Hyman returns, right? And then I can see how you'd separate him. But when you look at Frederick's style of play and you consider Hyman, Cassian, Maroon, probably the guys who had the most success with McDavid are them. bigger bodies, kind of straight up and down game, good on the wall. You know, what do you make of Frederick's opportunity here to play in the top six, and what do you think he can do?
Well, I mean, in some ways the pressure is off him because he has his contract. There's no pressure on him to, oh man, if I don't score five goals in the first month, I won't get the contract he wants. He's got it. He's got his deal. So how best to use him, how best to get him involved in this right away. And I you know, you look at how it kind of went for him last year after they traded for him with the injury. You know, if anyone had a high ankle sprain, I had it twice, and I can tell you it's brutal, absolutely brutal. And I couldn't imagine playing the finals on it, especially the way he's so physical. So maybe they're just trying to get him going. So his opportunity to kind of kickstart him and get him going offensively and feel good about his game. And now it sounds like Nuge is going to be more of a center.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hard time. I've been telling everyone I think he's going to be, Frederick's going to be a third line center. Well, if Nuge is center, if Nuge isn't your fourth line center, so you know when everyone is back, I'm guessing it's Connor, Leon, Nuge, right? So Frederick has got to be he's going to be a winger under this scenario, and maybe he's a right winger, depending on how Tomasek plays, and we know when Zach Hyman comes back. So I think maybe he's looking long term with him being the big man, Frederick.
Well, I would agree, and I do know that they would like a right shot center at times, and so you know maybe it's Tomasek, maybe it's Frederick, you know, we'll see. And who knows if Draisaitl, like, here's the other thing, Strud. Let's say they have success out of the gate. Maybe they just say, you know what? We'll just move Hyman into our second line and leave it as is. And we think Hyman makes our second line stronger. Because the one thing that I came away with today more than ever, and I talked about it in the summer, and I thought, hey, this is what I would do at the trade deadline. And I am infinite. Like, if I could go Freddie Flintstone bet right now, I'm putting all my chips in on the Oilers adding a scoring winger at the deadline as priority number one. I think they're clearly showing that they got that's an area they want to improve.
Well, let's look at it. The D-core it's solid. You know, unless there's something major happens as far as injury, those top five guys are solid, and you have a mixed bag behind them. So maybe you trade for another depth guy. Maybe if that's what you feel. So that's minor. You know, Stu Skinner, you know, contract year, not that he hasn't been trying. I do think that the change in his weight might help the quickness. So, you know, maybe he gets back to being what we expect him to be and what he wants to be. So that leaves one option, Greg. That leaves a top-scoring winger. Then you got to find him, fit him in. But that's their job to figure that out. So I like where you're at. I think you're right on it. But I wonder this. So let's say that they leave the top two guys together and then Frederick stays there. Then who is it? Is it Mangiapane, Nuge, and Hyman is your second line?
I that's a good question. So, like, before Hyman comes back, I think Nuge might I think Tomasek's going to play on the third line with Savoy. Right? We saw him together the first day. It's just a hench. So it comes down to, you know, you have Nugent Hopkins, Mangiapane, and Podkolzin, or Nugent Hopkins, Mangiapane, and Henrique. I guess the wild card is capping it.
Yeah. So, there's a lot. So, I mean, if they go with the top two big, let's just assume everyone's healthy, top two guys, and it's got, you know, you got Mangiapane, you got Podkolzin in there, you got Henrique, you can play beside Nuge, although I think they're very similar players. So if Tomasek's your third line center, does that push Savoy, and then I guess would it be Henrique on the third line? Would he be the third line guy? Then I'm not sure where Kapanen's pushed down, Janmark's pushed down, Icoward might be pushed to the minors. You know, they have lots of options, and so I think trying to figure out where they all fit that's the challenge for this coaching staff, to figure it out quickly. Because, I want Podkolzin in the top nine. I want Henrique in the top nine. Savoy in the top nine. So I'm going to be really interested to see how he rolls out that sec. Because if that's the conversation, if he's starting those two guys together, the conversation for me starts in line two and who the wingers are.
Yeah. Well, and so I look at, if you know, this is all hypothetical, but let's say the Frederick McDavid Draisaitl combo is playing very well. Zach Hyman comes back in November. I'm not going to break it up instantly. The guy hasn't played a game, so I would start him on my second line and kind of see where it goes and gives you different options. Like, the owners are good enough to make the playoffs. I don't think there's any debate on that. So you can find different things, but regardless of what happens and whether it's Drysdale on the first and second line, I still think he's better as a center, my own opinion. But, hey, at times they play together and they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago. You know, him and McDavid in the playoffs, he played about 21% of their time 5-on-5. So I get, you know, after penalties and stuff like that, sure, but not a huge amount really in the grand scheme of it. When you think about it, it's about an average of, you know, 3 minutes a game on average. And I think there was a few games where they played exclusively together. So I just think Edmonton lacks another legit proven guaranteed top six winger. And that should be priority number one for the GM.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So if they get that, you know, if they get that guy, maybe that, at some point, that maybe splits Leon and Connor up, right? Because Simon is with Connor, and then Leon is with this new guy. And then you have, you know, the mixed bag, Paul Colden, Ron Chapani, Nugent Hopkins, depending on Trent Frederick, depending on, hey, like, you figure out after that. So I think that, you know, not treading water to get there, but you're auditioning different guys, and guys are rotating it out based on how they're playing. And then when that guy comes, and maybe, boom, you split him back up. Because I like him apart. I just think it's a defensive matchup. As a defender, I'd rather have my top pairing play against those two guys together, and then know my other four don't have to play against them as much, right? I know that people play each other, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather not a shift off, but just take a deep breath sometimes when both those guys aren't on the ice.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jason Strudwick joins us. Strutty, you know, it's hard in a preseason game. Like, there's no one really, to me, that stood out in this one. You know, Clattenburg was the first star. I had some buddies in Calgary say that, you know, they thought he really stood out against some Calgary veteran players, and that's outstanding and such. But I look at the orders, and you got Matt Savoy, and the coach said he's probably going to start him in the third line rather than start him up high and then go down, because inevitably you're probably going to lose your confidence as a young player at some point. So this way, or just, you know, you struggle, whatever, but you start in the third line, you get some penalty kill time, maybe some power play time, and away you go. And then you just keep building your confidence. That seems like a smarter move. I was very hesitant to think that Ike Howard was going to play here. And from what I've seen in the rookie camp, and the few shifts I saw in Calgary, there's nothing that's changed my mind that believes he's more of an AHL player right now than he is an NHL player. And that's not a bad thing, because he's yet to play pro hockey.
It's a big jump. I mean, going from college to NHL is a massive jump. And it's not that he's not smart enough. It's just that the guys he's playing against are smaller, slower, and not as smart hockey-wise, right? So, you know, I kind of think he'll end up starting the minors, and that's all right. You know, it's all right. That's an all right thing. And maybe during the course of the year where your group's maybe lacking some energy or you have injuries, you can bring him up based on, you know, if he's trending in the right direction, and let him get his beak wet like he did with Matt Savoy. But this, they've got to develop this guy properly. It is job number one. Him, Savoy, have got to be two really well-developed players, because they need them. They need these young legs coming in. Look behind them. There's not a ton of high-end talent that's sitting, you know, outside of this NHL roster. So they need these two. They've put a lot of, you know, they traded assets for these guys, and they need them to develop properly.
Yeah. No. Oh, 100%. They have to. One guy, Strutty, and he was an interesting player to me, because he, you know what, he was, didn't sign a contract with Buffalo, and Edmonton signed him pretty quickly. I know it was only one game, but Marhala's skill was something that stood out to me. Like, he's not NHL ready yet, but he's a player now that I'll be like, I'm going to be watching him to see. Because for one game, it stood out to me just his confidence to hold on the puck and make plays. And the Oilers don't have a lot of, like, young prospects with an offensive acumen.
Well, that kind of goes back to what I was just talking about. You know, like, Stan Bowman, when he took this job, he could see what was going on. The organization is very top-heavy as far as where all their assets are. They're all in the NHL. You know, look at some teams that have rebuilt. Most of their assets are either just sitting in draft picks or players that have been drafted, and they're not even in their NHL roster. The Oilers are the opposite. So Stan is searching high and low for players that are either young, coming out of college or Europe, or guys like Tomasek that maybe he can come and play here. This lineup, you know, add something to this lineup that he doesn't have. So that's another example of a player you're talking about. And so, you know, even the young Finnish team, you know, what is it, Leppinen, or, you know, I always struggle with the Finnish names, but the young D-man who played down in Calgary in the exhibition game, you know, smart little player, gets around the ice well, great offense. You know, where does he fit in, though, I guess, on this roster? I don't know, but you're just adding talent that isn't necessarily going to be in the NHL this year. Maybe they can find a way to move him up if players leave or come, or they want more zip in their transition game. So I think that Stan is that's what's keeping him up at night. How do I find youngish players that I can get for nothing that can come in and become NHL players?
Strutty, give me your thoughts on the CFL rule changes.
You know, I'm very proudly Canadian, and I like that the things that are different about CFL are different than NFL. Like, I'd go down and play in the States, and I'd be harassed by all the guys, the Americans, about how bad it was, the different rules. I'm like, yeah, that's what makes it Canadian. You know, we have it right. Maybe you guys have the rules wrong. But whether who's right or wrong, I like that, you know, Stuart is looking at ways to improve the game, the speed, the scoring, all that stuff. And they're not huge changes. Like the Rouge, I don't think most Canadians would even know what the hell the rule is. You know, like what exactly is it? But at the end of the day, at least, you know, he's not changing the CFL game. He's doing what he thinks is improving it to make it a better viewing experience. And this guy, you know, coming from, you know, sports TV like he did with TSN, I think he understands what sells. And I think that's what his angle is. I know, like, some of the players weren't happy. Rourke was upset with it, you know. And I like that he defends. But he defends his game, right? I kind of like that, I guess, you know.
But did you hear Rourke? He's rambling. He's ranting. You know what I like telling my friends? We have a wider field. We have 12 men on the field. We have the waggle.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, the same rules that you have today. Right. Like, it was, it was him complaining. It was like, honestly, it was like, I thought it was Abe Simpson, old man yelling at a cloud, because what he was complaining about didn't make any sense.
But I mean, it's nice to hear one of your stars sticking up for the league. You know, like, I think that's what he's, and maybe he was misguided, but they got to get people, you know, A, watching the game live, and then B, they got to get them in the TV, watching it on the TV. So I think that, you know, he knows what sells on TV and what people want to see, or he believes he does because of his experience in his previous job. So let's see how it goes. I mean, they're not massive changes, but if it gets a little bit more scoring going, let's see it. That's what makes the CFL. I remember when I grew up, and you would know better than I, it felt like there were high scoring games, just back and forth. And I loved that. It was like you go to a game and there was like four or five touchdowns all the time or more.
Yeah. Well, I think they need more offense for sure. The TV numbers actually, Strutty, continue to grow. So that part's good. Yeah. But you obviously want to get more fans in the stands. And I think you had to make some changes. I like the changes. Obviously, it's going to be a few years in the making to see, you know, how they are. But, you know, next year will be step one. Then you get to the, you know, you change. I don't really think changing the length of the field is going to impact people as much as those 10 yards. Like, other than not seeing the 55-yard line, I don't know if it's really going to be an impact.
Right.
More on strategy on kicking field goals and when you gamble on third down. And if you're going to try to pooch punt, that to me is going to be more of it. And I'll say this. Coaches are going to have to change for being always lacking in any sort of gonads to go for it on third and three. You're going to have to be more creative, and I think that's a good thing for the league, because if you don't want to gamble and try to pooch punt, and then because you don't get a point, and then your pooch punt goes out of the end zone, guess what? Now the team scrimmages at the 35, and you gained absolutely nothing anyway. So you're better off basically from the 45 to the 35 in the offensive zone, you're better off gambling when it's third and probably five or less.
Yeah, and I mean, just those ideas of being innovative and trying different things and going for it. Like, I think you just got to keep trying to surprise the viewers a little bit, right? And then make it exciting. You know, like last night you watched that Lions game. I mean, Campbell's got a pretty big set of pretzels on him to go for it. And I like seeing that, right? Like, that's exciting, whether you make it or not, even if you don't even cheer for on the teams. It's fun to watch.
Strutty? Quickly, what's your thoughts on Mr. Dart getting his first start?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me this. I feel it's premature. I would have gone to – now, Russell, I don't know that Russell has had a really good year in the last number of years, and I didn't think he'd be a starter all year, but I would go to Jameis Winston. I would give Jameis a couple starts, not because I think Jameis is – you know, going to be the MVP of the league. But I want Dart to have more time to kind of just get up to NFL speed, right? Whether it's through practice or learning the playbooks and all that stuff. But I'll say this about him. He seems like a gamer. That kid's a gamer. And I've heard people talk about him as a poor man's Josh Allen, the way he competes and plays. So that's a pretty nice comparison. So I don't know. Luckily, we're playing the doormat Chargers this weekend.
Oh, geez, that one might be tough. What are you and Collins going to make a bet on that game? Like, he's got to give you some points.
He's trying. He's trying. Well, I asked for 40 points.
40?
No, I'm just kidding.
Come on. Did you see Russell Wilson's throws like in the red zone? That I was unbelievable on that one. Just throwing it out of the end zone, And the other time, he didn't even look up. He just charged forward and got like 2 yards. I was like, is this guy a rookie? What is going on here?
No, I just don't think he has. You know, it's like a lot of great athletes. After a while, you just don't have it anymore. He's not a very big guy to start with. You know, and so like I said, I don't know. Connor, no better than I. But I think it's been 3-4 years since he's been the quarterback, and he had some moments like last week he threw the ball around, but he was never a long-term solution. I hope Dart is, but I wish they would have started like week 6 or 7 for the Dart, not against the Chargers, who seem to have a pretty good thing going.
Yeah. Strutty, we will chat with you next Tuesday when we probably should be down to the final. I don't think there's going to be any surprises to the Oilers roster. It's more so just, you know, who are going to be the last two forward cuts. I probably think it's going to be Jones. With Zach Hyman not here, they can carry 13 forwards. So, you know what? There are 13 other guys make it, I mean. So, there's, you know, if Howard goes down and Jones goes down, that's it. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. All right, boys. Enjoy the game this weekend. Go Chargers.
A Giants fan. Go Chargers. That's a tough one, Strutty. He's cheering for the first overall pick for Jason Trudeau. We'll come back. We got 5 questions.